There are four witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We call them Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but each of them are witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today we want to call to the stand Luke, the only non-Jewish men among that number. Luke was a physician. He was also a historian. God used Luke to pen the words of the Gospel of Luke as well as the book we call the Book of Acts. And today we want to hear Luke's testimony about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the first Easter morning. Luke chapter 24, we begin reading. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Marveling at what had happened. Some of you today are struggling with a little bit of a problem in life, and that is you have a name you don't like. Your parents saddled you with a strange name, maybe a family name that's hard to spell, and you had problems in school spelling your name. Your teacher had problems in school pronouncing your name, and your friends made fun of you, and you've lived with this name your whole life. I don't know what your name might be, but I heard a story about a man whose name was Odd. No, that was his name, Odd, O-D-D. I have no idea why his parents gave him that name, but they did. And he suffered through elementary school and through childhood with the strangest name anyone had ever heard. Who ever heard of a person named Odd? And he went through his school years struggling with that name. And as he got into college and some years beyond that, he found a young woman. He started dating. And she fell in love with him in spite of his name. And they got married and they lived their lives together. But as they came toward the end of their lives, Odd asked his wife a favor. He said, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to make this promise to me right now that when I die, you will not, under any circumstance, put my name on my tombstone. I want this name to die with me. I don't want it to ever be spoken again, and I don't want to ever be associated with it. So all you need to do is put on my tombstone when I was born and the year I died. But do not put my name on the tombstone. Well, she reluctantly agreed, and as things would happen, he died before she did. And so she did as he had requested. She had his tombstone chiseled with just the dates of his birth and his death. Now, when people come to the cemetery and they walk past his tombstone and they look, don't get ahead of me, they look at the tombstone, they say, well, you know what they say. Isn't that odd? Let me ask you a question this morning. Isn't this odd? Isn't all of this odd? This has to be the oddest Easter I have ever experienced. Probably is for you too. Easter is usually a day filled with energy and people with new clothes and kids with chocolate smeared all over their clothes from their Easter baskets. And today is none of that. The building, with the exception of our tech team and music ministry, is basically empty. Most of the sanctuary stays dark. We don't need lights everywhere. Someone remarked that this is the first time the church has ever not been able to meet in a church building for Easter. And maybe it is for you, but that was certainly not the case for the first Easter. The first Easter was not in a building. It was in a graveyard. It was at a tomb, an empty tomb. And we need to remember some things this morning, church family, wherever you are as you hear this today, whether you're listening online or on radio, wherever you are this morning, we may have an empty building this morning, but what a reminder that we also have an empty tomb. And that is why we are together today. That is why we worship today. That is why we celebrate. The good news has not changed one bit. Jesus is alive. And this may be a different kind of day and maybe a bit odd, but Jesus is alive. And let me tell you something. As I worshiped with our worship team this morning, I could hardly hold the tears back. The Lord is present here and wherever you are today as we hear His word and honor this word. Now, I want to say a couple of things about Luke's testimony this morning as we hear this today again and remind ourselves of the facts of the very first Easter. And then the first thing that I want to say, you know, we need to think about this. Easter did not begin in daylight. It began in the dark. Easter started in the darkness. It did not begin in the light of day. It did not begin with clarity and with joy. The first Easter, in fact, began in hopelessness. The women who had come to do the difficult job of finishing preparing the body of Jesus for burial, which they had hastily done on Friday after His body was taken from the cross, bloodied and broken and bruised and bleeding, they took it hastily, wrapped His body, laid it in a tomb, and closed the mouth of the cave and walked away. They were now coming to finish the job. And let me tell you something. The women's hopes had been crushed by Friday's brutality and Jesus' shameful death. Even though He had told them the last thing they expected, even a few days before, was that they would be dealing with His death. He told them, "I'm going to be killed." But they were still stunned to see the cross happen as it did. They were hopeless. Secondly, the first Easter began with confusion. They did not remember the end of the story. They did not remember that the cross was not the end. The death was not the last word. They did not remember that He had told them already. He had told them numbers of times, the Son of Man is going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to be killed. He's going to be put in a tomb. And on the third day, He's going to rise again. They completely forgot, even though He had clearly told them that that was going to happen. They came to the tomb the moment that the Sabbath day ended. They made their way to the borrowed tomb, fully expecting to find a lifeless corpse. Instead, they met angels and an empty tomb. But they were confused. A third, I noticed that the first Easter began in fear, as we hear Luke's witness. It began in fear. They were afraid. The 11 remaining disciples, where were they? Well, Judas had betrayed Jesus and had gone and hung himself, and Judas was out of the picture. There were 11 men left. Where were they? Let me tell you where they were. They were in quarantine. They were hiding. They were hiding in fear. They were hiding in absolute terror that what had happened to their master, Maybe they remembered that thing that Jesus said, a servant is not above his master. If they do this to me, they'll do it to you. Maybe they were hiding thinking, are we next to go to the cross? You know, fear forces us to run and hide, doesn't it? Are you tasting fear these days? It forces us to run and hide. They were hidden. They were afraid to be seen out in the open. Fear had gripped their hearts. You know, the earliest account, the very first account of the resurrection, it's not in the order that we have it in our Bible, but the earliest gospel was Mark. And Mark's account in Mark chapter 16, verse 8, ends with these words. It ends with the words, the women, they told no one what they had seen. When the women went to the tomb, they told no one what they had seen because they were afraid. Period. What? That's how it ends? Yeah. Fear was the dominant emotion. They didn't end singing, Christ the Lord is risen today, hallelujah. They ended in terror. The first thing that Jesus would say to people when he appeared to them, three words, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why did he say that? Because they were afraid. They were terrified. And fourth, I noticed the first Easter began in doubt. Look at what the gospel says. When the women came to the disciples who had been gathered and quarantined together in fear, when they reported to the disciples what they had encountered at the tomb, look at what it says, they did not believe them. They did not believe them. It seemed to them an idle tale. You know women gossip. That's what they were thinking. You know how women are. This is just an idle, gossipy tale. And the disciples did not believe. You know, the opposite of faith, folks, is not doubt. Some of you doubt today. Some of you have doubts. Every person you meet has doubts about some things. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is unbelief. It's different to say, I have some questions, than it is to say, I will not believe. It's one thing to say, if I can have some answers that may help me work through some problems. It's another thing to say, I don't care what you tell me or who tells me, I will not believe. One is doubt and one is unbelief. Doubt is intellectual. Unbelief is an act of the will. Doubt hung over the room that day as the women came and shared with the disciples what they had seen. And folks, let me come back to this. These are dark days for us as a nation, really the whole world. Whether you're in America or Spain or Italy or Germany, wherever, I know they're sequestered in Southeast Asia today. We have some partners over there. And they're quarantined by this virus. It's everywhere. It's an odd thing, and it makes things feel dark. You know, it's an odd thing to celebrate Easter in the darkness and the uncertainty hanging over our day. But let me just say this to you. Darkness cannot, it does not, and it cannot last. Darkness cannot last. If we learn nothing else from the Easter story, we remember that the dawn does come. Even if we're hopeless, even if we are in despair, if we are captured in fear, even if we are doubting, whatever we may be stuck in today, the darkness won't last. The light comes. Dawn does come. Easter morning does come. We have that confidence. You know, as the women approached the tomb that morning, they were shocked at the sight of an unguarded open tomb. Don't let that be lost on you. This would be like you going to the cemetery to visit the grave plot of a family member, and you're coming to bring flowers or to put something on the grave, and you get to the cemetery and the grave, there's dirt piled up beside the grave. You look down, the grave is empty, the casket is open, your loved one is not in there. That's what they were experiencing on Easter morning. That's the reality they were looking at. Where did he go? We put him here. Where did he go? But listen, the dawn came. The dawn of Easter brought light to their hopelessness. It brought light to their hopelessness. You know, one of the things that has most characterized our battle with this coronavirus is really, for men, it's just hopelessness. Every time I hear a report on one of our major news networks or cable news, which I try not to listen to too much because it is so hopeless. There's so much despair. It is so, we don't know what to do. We don't know how. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And have you ever been in a season of life where you have heard more about death than we hear every day on the news? It's a time of hopelessness. And hopelessness sets in when you can no longer imagine a positive future. There are people, folks, in our world, in your world today, there are people who cannot imagine a positive outcome to any of this. They cannot see hope beyond what's happening right now. But we are people, and as Peter reminds us, we are people who have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have been born again to a living hope. That is an eternally renewable source of hope. It will never bottom out. It will never run out. You will never exhaust hope. It is a living hope that continues to renew itself inside of you. Listen, folks, whatever this virus brings to us over the next weeks or months, Jesus is still alive. Jesus still reigns over this virus. Jesus is still Lord. Whatever else happens, we need to know these things. And of all the people on the planet, Christian people have reason to hope. We have reason to hope. And really, we have the only answer for the hopelessness that is characterizing our day. So listen, don't give in to despair. Don't buy into the chatter that you're hearing online and on Twitter and every place else. Don't buy into that. You have hope. Tell people about hope. They are wide open. Their hearts are ripped open right now by hopelessness. They need the hope that you have. But you have to be willing to share it. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we cling to hope as we cling to the truth of Christ's resurrection that overcame death for us. But secondly, I notice in this testimony, the dawn of Easter morning brought clarity to their confusion. The women came with no answers for what had happened on Friday. They had no answers. They didn't know what was happening at the empty tomb on Easter morning. They were in absolute chaos. They did not know what is going on. Why was Jesus killed when they went? Why is now the tomb empty? They were in total chaos and confusion. And as they entered the tomb, they did not find the body of Jesus. And their confusion just deepened for them. And suddenly it said, two men in dazzling apparel stood with them. They were frightened, and they bowed their faces to the ground. And the men asked them, now I want you to understand this, I'm not minimizing it, they basically ask them a riddle. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living one among the dead? I had a very, very sad phone call happen yesterday morning. I was able, way, way, way back when I was in Kentucky, to lead a young man to Jesus Christ who really had no family, he had nothing. And we were able to walk with him and he embraced the gospel, and he embraced the gospel, and he embraced the church. And it was an incredible thing. And I watched him as he grew in Christ and as he started embracing the body of believers in Jesus Christ. He found a woman, and I wouldn't really have thought that he would have gotten married ever. I didn't know what was going to happen, but he found a woman, and they got married. They lived in a little house for years and years and years. And yesterday morning, he called me to tell me his wife had died at 5:10 yesterday morning. And I wept, And I stopped my car. I said, God, thank you for the hope of resurrection. Thank you that he has that hope now. Thank you that he knows, and his dear wife Janet knows, the power of the resurrection. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? What makes you think Jesus is dead? He is risen just as he said to you. He told you he is risen. He told you this was going to happen. Don't forget. Listen, you know what? I struggle sometimes on Easter, Christmas kind of thing. Because I'm thinking, I just feel like I've done this for 40 years, and I'm thinking, it's just, I'm saying the same things over and over again. Yes, I am. You know why? Because we forget. Jesus, the master teacher, Jesus, the master teacher, told these women, told the disciples, let me tell you over and over and over, the best way to learn is repetition. That over and over and over again, I want to tell you why this is going to happen. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And every one of them forgot. I feel better as a teacher. It happened to Jesus. We forget. What is Easter about? Just reminding us of what we already know. It's just reminding us. Listen. What happened to Jesus is going to happen to every believer. I'm not saying the cross, but the resurrection. Listen, you and I may go to the grave, but we're not going to stay there. I don't know who's going to be around when I die, but I'm going to tell you, if you are around, please sing a song for me. It's old. It's Hills. It says, it ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm going to rise up out of the ground. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. I played that song after the conversation I had yesterday morning. I needed to hear it again to remind me. We have a hope, a living hope. Number three, the light of Easter morning brought comfort in place of fear. The great epidemic of 2020, folks, has not been a microscopic virus. Everyone will not get sick. Can I just give you some good news today? Everybody will not get sick with this virus. And 98%, according to Ben Carson, who tweeted this last week, 98% of the people who get the virus will get better. Everybody is not afflicted with this epidemic, with this virus. Everybody is not. But everybody is afflicted with fear. You may not be sick with the virus, but you are sick with fear today. It has gripped us. Everyone is afflicted with it. It's paralyzed us. It's driven us into this social distancing and quarantine. I understand it. I affirm it. I think it needs to be done. I understand. I don't want to pass it along if I have it or get it if I don't. I understand that. It's driven fear, not this virus. Fear has driven our economy to historic lows. Fear is shutting the world down today. And we know this all too well. You know, it has power over us if we let it. Hebrews 2:10 said, Jesus came to set us free from the one who all our lives has held us captive to the fear of death. If you are feeling fear today, if you are gripped by fear today, you are submitting to a bondage that Jesus has already set you free from. He has killed, he has conquered the one who all of our lives held us captive. All those times that you wouldn't go into a dark room without a light on. All those times that you thought, oh, there's a snake over there, I can't go over there. All those times that you felt fear, that was the enemy just gripping you again. Jesus set you free from that at the cross. But what are we doing? We're submitting ourselves to it again. We're allowing it to become part of us again. It's our confidence in the fact of the resurrection that allows us to no longer fear death. Death doesn't get to win. Listen, the resurrection, let me stop here. The resurrection is not just a happy ending to round out the story of a hard weekend. The resurrection is the point. The resurrection is the reason. The resurrection is not the end of the story of the gospel. It is the beginning of the new creation that God is making, Jesus Christ being the first fruits. And you can be a part of that. You may say, well, I don't know. Pastor, you know, I got doubts. I have questions. Maybe you are stuck in unbelief. You're skeptical. You're afraid you're going to be taken advantage of. Let me tell you something. You can have a freedom today that you will never know in any other way, not through drugs, not through money, not through relationships, not through anything else in this world. You can have a freedom that you will never know any other way if you will do this one thing. If you will say, I don't understand it all, but in my heart, I believe that Jesus Christ did what the Bible says he did. He came back physically from the dead, and I believe he lives forever. The Bible says, we've been studying Philippians, we just studied this last week. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came from heaven. He became a man. He became a servant. He became obedient to the death of a cross. He went to the grave. And now God has resurrected him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You can have hope today in the understanding and the affirmation that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is God. He is salvation. There is no salvation in any other. You can search through every religion you want to. There is no one who will bring you the hope that Jesus Christ will bring if you'll trust him for it today. Will you bow your heads? Pray this prayer with me, please. Pray this prayer with me. Wherever you are, get on your knees. Stop your car. Get on your knees. Pray. Just, Lord, I'm going to bow my knee before you here on this Easter Sunday morning, and I'm going to say, Lord, I believe that you are who you said you are. I believe that you are God. I believe that there is no one under heaven. There's no name under heaven by which I must be saved than the name of Jesus. I believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. Pray with me. Father, today, as there are many listening who do not know you, may this be the day that they settle this, that they make this. They do not want to leave this world without assurance. We don't want to live in this world right now without assurance that we know where we're going if things do end. And this is not just about fear of death. It's maybe much more for some fear of living. They don't even know how to live, Lord, and they just need life. So would you bring them living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And Lord, today on this Easter Sunday morning, will you bring great honor and glory to yourself as many souls come into your kingdom? As we turn from our sins, Lord, as we turn to you as our only hope of salvation. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. If you prayed that prayer, friend, let me ask you something. Would you please text the word next? Take your phone, text the word next to the number 904-747-3125. That's 904-747-3125. Text the word next, N-E-X-T. And we'll contact you. We would love to know that you prayed this prayer, you made this decision. We have some things we'd like to send you. And please know, we'll walk with you. We'll walk with you. Thank you for being a part of the service today.